J.R. Ryder was fantastic.
Heck yeah.
You know, out of Alameda, obviously played at UNLV as mm-hmm. well. Isaiah Ryder, he was fantastic. There was some dudes that could just flat out just jump out the gym. Hell, Kobe, when he was doing the dunk contest, did the East Bay Funk. Remember, he did that little, man, he was that guy, but.
There was a, do you remember, Daryl, Dr. Duncanstein, he's from Louisville, played at, with the Utah Jazz. What's that? Oh, I thought he was it was Daryl Griffith. Daryl Griffith from Louisville. Yeah. And when you had names like Dr. Duncanstein,
right?
I mean, you know, that's how we rolled in the 70s and 80s. 70s were a little bit ahead of my time in terms of all that. But yeah, there were some. I get into this argument with Adam Hill, our good friend Adam Hill, all the time. He just doesn't think there were athletes back then. I'm like, dude, come on, man.
No, they just come in different shapes and forms now. Right. And so, I mean, again, just guys are getting bigger, faster, and stronger. We know that, but these dudes were incredible, man, back in the day. And you know, some of these players that you know you saw and you witnessed them kind of grow and evolve into who they were. You just realize how freaking talented they really mm-hmm. were. I'll tell you, man, as a Warrior fan, you know, people always say. Oh, yeah, probably just a Warrior fan now that they're good. No, brother. Look, I lived through the Chris Gatlings.
Right.
I lived through the O'Donnell Foyles. I lived through, you know, I mean, one guy after hanging with Mr. Cooper when he had a little 10-day contract with the Warriors. I mean, I lived through all that, brother. So I can claim them now because I claimed them then.
Well, but, you know what's so funny about that? Jared Goff, when he was with the Rams, he's a huge Warriors fan, right? And so in his locker, he had an ode to the Warriors. He had like championship banners up there. And I used to always mess with them because I a little typical, bandwagon Warriors fan. And Vinny, you know that I go back. And he was naming guys that you just named. Like, I go back to, I had season tickets, you know, when they were winning, you know, 18 games. I'm like, dude, I'm just messing with you. But it was like serious with him because he's like, no, man, I lived through the hard times with the Warriors.
Yes.
And we all know there were some hard times with the Warriors. I've always had a soft spot for the Warriors. It used to hurt me when they were that bad because they were that bad. So, you know, it was kind of cool that their time was when, you know, after Kobe started getting hurt and you saw it coming too. I remember taking my wife and kids to a game. It was when Kobe tore his Achilles tendon and he had to hit those free throws to get him into the playoffs and he wasn't able to play in the playoffs. But my wife and kids were like, who are these guys, Klay Thompson and Steph? I'm like, they're the future. That's who they are. Cause this was 2012. So they were just kind of coming into their own.
Yep.
And I was like, keep an eye on those two guys because they're the future of this division and of this league. And sure enough, they did. So I was able to, we were kind of able to root for the Warriors, even though we were in Southern California, because the Lakers were out by, you know, those were some bad years for the Lakers. So of course I'm going to stay with my California teams. And the Warriors stepped up in a big way. And it was fun watching those guys come together and then do what they did.
Yeah, there were some tough years, though. As a Warrior fan, there were some tough years. And, well, Raider fans aren't going to say anything bad about the Warriors because they know about tough, tough years as well. And join us now on the phone lines from Yahoo Sports and Fox Sports as well as our good friend Jason Fitz. And, Jason, thanks so much for your time. Thanks for, rearranging for us, man. We do appreciate you. And we actually threw the question out there earlier since it's the draft season. Who was the draft pick that you were most excited about that never panned out? It could be Raider-related or just NFL in general-related.
Oh man, that's a tough question. The most excited, I mean, I feel like I usually get my heart broken. Like, because here's the thing. Like when Jamarcus was picked, how many of us really were excited about the Jamarcus pick, right?
I was fired up.
Were you?
Yeah.
You were fired up about it?
I thought he could throw the ball 70 yards from a knee, Jason. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Okay, I will say one guy that I loved in the draft, I don't know, like, I know running backs don't matter, but, like, when Darren McFadden was drafted, I just thought that was going to be, like, such a cool thing. And like, I thought that was going to be a home run. I didn't like Darius Hayward, but I'm thinking of all the busts. Like, the minute you start saying who broke my heart as a draft pick that didn't work out, I immediately think just bust after bust after bust in the draft in general. I think, gosh, I don't know. Like, for the Raiders in general, when Michael Huff was drafted, I thought that one was going to be beast. Like, I thought Huff was going to be great. So, and he was fine. He was fine. It's just, those are the ones that stand out in my brain. But the funny thing is, I think I speak for most, and the reason that the draft is, by the way, my favorite event in the entire sports calendar, it's the thing that I'm the most passionate about. The day that Yahoo signed me to my contract after ESPN, the first thing they asked is, what do you want to do that we don't do right now. And I said, if I don't do a draft show, my heart's going to be broken. And what do you know? We're putting together a draft show, right? Like, because
nice.
I think this event means so much to so many of us. But I can remember where it was sitting the day Sebastian Janikowski was drafted. And by the way, I can remember justifying it because I was like, did you watch last season? Mm. We lost how many games because our kicker couldn't make a kick? Of course we were. And then, you know, the year the Raiders didn't draft Randy Moss, I'm like, of course they didn't draft Randy Moss. Look at the wide receiver room. We don't need Randy Moss. Like, I've gone through this process every single year. So I remember the house I was sitting in the year that Darius Heyward Bey was drafted. And it was like, all right, Speakster, wide receiver. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So, yeah, like the amount of disappointment has been – it's been pretty staggering, more years than not when it comes to the top of the draft.
I think that falls into the talk yourself into it fan.
Right.
The justified fan. So we've all been there.
I know I'm interrupting you.
No, all good.
Like, the one thing I'll say is that part of the reason I am more excited as a Raiders fan for this year's draft than I have been for years is because I have watched and I have sat there every time the Chargers are on the clock. And I thought, damn it, they're going to take somebody great. How does this always happen? How do the Chargers always get the talented guy in the draft? And they've done it over and over. We could talk all day long about some of the contracts and whether that was the right thing, blah, blah, blah. And we could talk about the underachieving Chargers. But the reason the Chargers every year are the darling pick is because every year we've looked at their roster and we're like, my God, how did they get Derwin James? How does he, right? Like, we've done this over and over again. That guy is running this draft board. So for once, I'm sitting here saying, whoever they take at 13 or wherever they end up selecting, glory hallelujah, at least I'll know the player's name.
Yes, and we're talking about Tom Telesco, the general manager who is now running the Raiders draft board. And that's a great place for you to take this to because we got a question for you here in terms of what you do at 13. And I did a mock draft, a seven-round mock draft, and ultimately what I did was I traded down with the Rams, took Terrion Arnold, the cornerback, at number 19, then used the assets that I got from the Rams, or one of the assets that I got from the Rams, to trade back up to the top of the second round to get Michael Penix. I wrote that. It posted on Sunday. I'm already thinking, man, I don't know if Michael Penix is going to be there at 33 now. So the question becomes to you, if that's who you like, if you like Michael Penix that much, and other quarterbacks have been taken by the time the Raiders get to 13, can you even afford at this point now to trade down or wait for him in the second round, or do you have to take him at number 13? And if they did, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, the problem is you can't panic.
Right.
And so they're like, it's almost two different pieces of information.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with you. I think there's a very real chance if we end up in a situation where Michael Penix is sitting there in the 20s, somebody's going to move up and get that extra fifth year on him. I have a hard time believing if, as the more people I talk to continue to echo the same sentiment I've told you before, that there will be five quarterbacks gone at this point. We will see. The four we all keep talking about, plus Bo Nix, will all be gone before the Raiders have selected. Mm. I think that's going to happen. So if five quarterbacks are off the board, somebody's going to get desperate and overpay to move back up. That being said, if the Raiders are able to get a corner, one of the top two or three corners in this year's draft, or an offensive lineman, one of the top two or three offensive linemen in this draft, in the first round, and also land Michael Penix Jr., that's got to be considered a home run. It just has to be, in my mind. So do you take him at 13, though? I mean, the answer to that, honestly, is that that's way overvalued. And so this is where our fan base's desperation for a quarterback, I just have to remind you that there is, and I know we're taking on Mahomes, so I know it's different. There's one living, eating, breathing example of a team that every single year we went into the draft, we said, they got to take a quarterback this year. And they didn't. They went best player available over and over and over again. And that's the 49ers. When they finally broke that mold and they traded up for Trey Lance, the rest of their roster was so good that they traded up a king's ransom to take a quarterback. It failed, and nobody lost their job. Think about that. How often does that happen in the modern NFL? Because the 49ers continually did the smart thing and said, look, just because I need a quarterback doesn't mean that I can pass on this generational talent that's right here if I don't believe in that quarterback. So, man, if you're taking Penix at 13, then you believe that he can beat Mahomes for the next 10 years. And you're passing at 13 on the opportunity to fill a different hole. So I honestly think, I think the most likely realistic scenario, because not scenario I want. The scenario I want is for the Raiders to pay King's ransom, move up into top three and get one of their quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. So the scenario I think is realistic is best player available at 13, which is either at that point going to be an offensive lineman or a corner. I think that makes a ton of sense. And then you just watch the draft as it continues. Like, y'all, I would not turn off the draft after 13 because somebody is going to select Penix, and the question is going to be, who does it? So, you know, think about it. At the end of the first round of the draft, every year we say, man, first pick in the second round is available for trade right now. If the Carolina Panthers go to sleep having not made a pick in the first round, knowing that Michael Penix is still on the board, they are going to feel...
Oh. Did we lose him?
I was fascinated what he was getting ready to say right there.
I know. That was really good stuff right there. And then all of a sudden, the phone gremlin seems to have got us. And so we're going to...
We got him back.
Wait, we got him back. All right, there he goes. Jason's back.
Yeah, if Michael Penix Jr. is still available at the end of the first round, then when Carolina all night is going to take field, they're going to field calls all night long for the first pick in the second round, because there's no way, like, all night it's going to be, can I get that quarterback? I think just because we're overvaluing some of the rest of the quarterback class doesn't mean that we should sit here and twist the value of Michael Penix Jr. Michael Penix Jr. in the second round is a home run. Michael Penix Jr. in the bottom of the first round is a very smart leveraged risk. I don't have any problem with any of that. Penix at 13. Like, I would love, look, I'll go buy the jersey, but that's rich. That's rich for the quarterback.
Let me ask you this, Jason, with all that being said, and you mentioned how the 49ers had a roster that was stacked and they made that trade. You said you'd like to give up a king's ransom and go and get the quarterback that is. Jaden Daniels is obviously who the Raiders are looking at. Do you think that the Raiders roster is in a good position where they can afford to do that at this stage of the game if they did find that trade partner?
Let me scream hell yes to this. And not just like say hell yes, I'm going to scream hell yes from the mountaintops, because I keep, and I had this debate with somebody a couple of days ago that said, man, whoever goes to Minnesota is going to be in such a good situation because they got a former quarterback as a coach and a former quarterback as an offensive coordinator, and they have Justin Jefferson to throw to, and it's going to be so good. And I'm looking around and I'm saying, okay, last time I checked, when's the last time a rookie quarterback went into a situation where they were throwing to one of the top three wide receivers in the game without question? Jacoby Myers was absolutely great last year. Michael Mayer is going to be a star tight end in this league. I think running back, you know, they'll have to address to get a little bit of support for Zamir. I think that's pretty fair, but, which, by the way, Audric Estime or somebody like that could easily be acquired in the second or third round if they wanted. Like, they can get running back. You talk about those weapons? Yeah. I mean, he's actually got experienced and accomplished wide receivers to throw the football to. That's a dream situation for a top quarterback. So, yeah, I think the weapons are there, absolutely. And the Raiders are spending too much money to make it any at any point to make us think that they believe they're in complete rebuild mode. They don't spend $100 million on Christian Wilkins if they think that they can't compete right now.
We're talking to Jason Fitz from Yahoo Sports. Okay, then give us your Godfather offer that you would make to either the Commanders or the New England Patriots that you're willing to make, and that if you do make that offer and they say no, you hang up the phone and look to whoever's right next to you and say, I can't believe they did not take that offer.
3 1s and a 2. I would give up 3 1s and a 2. 4 1s would be hard because you're leveraging too many years. But 3 1s and a 2, absolutely, without hesitation. If I look at New England and say, look, your roster is trash and it's an abject disaster, and whatever quarterback goes there is going to fail because you don't have any of the things in place to support that quarterback. And by the way, I don't know why the Patriots get any benefit of the doubt. When's the last time they developed anybody and they have a first-time head coach that we know nothing about? So I think the Patriots are about to be one of the worst teams in the NFL for the next 10 years. So if they want to take Jaden Daniels, they're just going to ruin the kid's career, right? They don't have anything around them. So, you know, to me, because I've talked to enough people that I think are well-informed, and I've talked to enough people that I think are not feeding me a line of you-know-what, I'm telling you, the Washington J.J. McCarthy thing is real. It is. Wow. There are people in that building that believe that J.J. McCarthy is the best quarterback in this draft. So I at this point, if I had to bet my house on the second overall pick, based on the people I've talked to that are in the know, I would bet my house that J.J. is the second overall pick.
Holy cow.
And if J.J.'s the second overall pick, that means New England's going to be sitting there, and your choice is Jaden Daniels to Drake May. A couple of things I will die. I will die on the hill that Jaden Daniels, with the right coaching, patience, and development, can be very, very good. Also, I keep hearing about his lean frame. I would just tell everybody, go back and look at Max Crosby on his draft day. weight can be put on with the right training, number one. But number two, if it's not Jaden, this whole, like, demise of Drake May is based on virtually nothing. Like, his production last year wasn't what it was 2 years ago. His weapons weren't what they were 2 years ago, and his coaching was worse. So, like, why is it we sit here and say, well, you can't really give Jaden all the credit. Look at who he's throwing to. But then we sit here, we give Drake all the blame without looking at the situation that was around him. I think Drake May, like, not named Caleb Williams, the next two quarterbacks that I would leverage my future for would be Drake May and Jaden Daniels. Either of those two come to the Raiders, and you all just go buy the jerseys and get ready, because we're locking down at this point. And I think they're both going to be available at three.
Is it this year's two or next year's two?
Hell, either. I don't care. I mean, I give you this year's two in a heartbeat. I mean, why not? And I think that's where the Buffalo GM was right when he said, if you paid too much, but you got Josh Allen, nobody's going to care. If you paid too much and you got it wrong, you're going to get fired, right? So, you know, how many years we started this phone call by talking about how many years we as a fan base have looked around at the draft and said, I don't see, right? Like, so we sit here and we treat these things like, you know, if we're sitting in the same living room, right, and, you know, you guys scratch off a scratch-off lottery ticket, and it's a $10,000 winner. I got a choice. I can give you my whole stack for your $10,000 winner, right? Or I can keep my stack and hope that I'm going to get something. I think that if their organization, the organization's looked at it, and they believe that Jaden or Drake is a $10,000 winner, man, you take that. You take that trade all day long. Like, bird in the hand, if your scouting tells you that that's the guy, like, miss me with all this conversation about Shadur next year. I don't think he's reasonably in the same conversation. I talked to one quarterback scout last week that said if Shadur had come out in this year's draft, he would have been the seventh-rated draft quarterback in the draft, seventh-rated. So for everyone that's like, we'll just get it next year, no, I don't think you will. I think there are two viable solutions for the Raiders at quarterback. Number one is that you get one in the draft and you leverage your future. Number two is understand that Dak Prescott has a no-trade and no-franchise clause in his contract. If the Cowboys do not do a deal with Dak Prescott before the season starts, I don't believe he'll do one during the season. He will hit free agency, and either the Broncos or the Raiders will absolutely back up a Brinks truck for $50 million a year to bring in a quarterback. So I got a choice. I can give up years with the draft picks and get cheap quarterback play and try and build my team that way, or I can hunker down and get ready to spend $50 million next year. I don't think there's any way it's not one of those two options.
And I don't think that there's any way that $50 million is an option that they want to go and give to one Dakota Rain Prescott. So there's that.
You and me both, brother. You and me both.
Fantastic stuff. Jason, what are you working on, man, that we should be on the lookout for?
You can always check out everything on Yahoo. Also, I'm going to be in Phoenix covering the Final Four in the NCAA Championship. Me and Danny Green hanging out down there talking basketball. So if you've never checked it out, follow me on social media, at Jason Pitts. A lot of the videos go out there. And then, yeah, we do all that work on Fox Sports Radio. You can check me out Saturday morning. So I'm everywhere, just hanging out.
I heard that. We appreciate you, brother. Great stuff as always. Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, also Fox Sports. Check him out on Twitter at Jason Fitz and with us here on the Morning Tailgate. 9:47 is the time. We'll take a quick break, come back, close out this electric circus that we call the Morning Tailgate on Raider Nation Radio 920.
A men's college basketball champion will be crowned. Listen in Monday, April 8th, starting at 4:30 on ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM. Brought to you by Finley Chevrolet, home of the...
Attention basketball fans,
get ready to slam dunk into March Mania action at Treasure Island. Join the action inside the Treasure Island Ballroom, located on the second floor convention level for the ultimate March Mania experience. Doors swing open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. so you can catch every game, every buzzer beater, and every thrilling moment.
And here's the best part.
There's no cover charge. Watch the games on multiple HD projection screens. And don't miss out on the action with satellite betting stations. All at Treasure Island.
Must be 21 or older.
When you get nachos, tacos, empanadas, spicy queso with jalapenos, Pepto-Bismol's there. Pepto-Bismol provides fast, effective relief from nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and diarrhea. All the things that can happen unexpectedly on vacation. So before you travel, pack the Pepto. Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea,
use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
You didn't think you'd get in a car wreck, but you did. You didn't think you'd get hurt, but you did. You didn't think you'd lose your job, but you did. When accidents you didn't think would happen, happen, call the Richard Harris Law Firm, 444-4444, just in case.
Craving the taste of Port of Subs? Whether you're powering through work or in the middle of a game, get the fast track to flavor with our easy online delivery. Mmm, fresh baked bread with premium meats and cheeses, fresh veggie toppings, and savory sauces. You'll never have to leave your zone. Get the Port of Subs taste you crave. Order online at portofsubs.com or download the Port of Subs app today for easy ordering. Port Perks rewards and freshness at your fingertips.
Slice fresh sandwiches, Port of Subs.
Hey, Chuck, I gotta tell you, I love the fact that I can find out exactly how much I qualify for at Dollar Loan Center even before I need a loan.
People are always curious about how much cash they can get, and it's way better to know this before you're in a pinch. Let's say you don't quite need a loan today, but might every so often, and really just want to find out how much you qualify for and how it works. We do this every day at Dollar Loan Center, and the customers really dig it.
And it's free, right?
Of course. Not only is it free to find out how much you qualify for, but new customers get their first loan free.
That was Chuck, and DLC continues to be your community lender by offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply, and a week of free interest. We have over 50 locations. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com. And don't forget, your first loan is on us at the DLC.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Data Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. Review loan qualifications. Visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Hi, it's Steve Mann. Have you heard the commercials for the Mark Patrick Stop Smoking Seminars? And they said only $49.99 and it could work for you. So I thought, that's not even a week's worth of smoking. So I went. And guess what? It did work for me. You know, my friends and family are still amazed. I quit smoking. I didn't have cravings, anxiety, or weight gain. Listen, I don't know how it works, but I know it works because I'm living proof, and it's 100% guaranteed. So what do you got to lose? I'll tell you what you got to lose. A very bad habit.
Join Mark Patrick Seminars and stop smoking now without cravings, irritability, weight gain, or your money back. Early bird special, only $49.99 guaranteed. Hypnosis designed to work without anxiety, irritability, or weight gain. Early bird special, only $49.99. Become a non-smoker. That's right. Seminar Saturday, April 13th at the Santa Fe Station Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Stop smoking seminar, 2 p.m. Weight loss seminar, 11 a.m. Sign up at markpatrickseminars.com.
Terribles is celebrating 65 years in Southern Nevada with
65K in 65 days!
Make a qualifying purchase in-store or fuel up at the pump, scan your Terribles app, and spin for your chance to win free products. Or be lucky enough to land on
$1,000!
Every day for 65 days! So, download the free Terrible Social House app and play today. Spin more, win more. Terribles, deliberately different since 1959.
Jessica, this is the happiest day of my life. Right up there with the day I bought my RV and insured it with Progressive. Man, I love that thing. There are a million fish in the sea, which I'm reminded of every time I bring my RV to the lake, but I vow to love and cherish you just as much as I cherish campsites with full electric and water hookups. I'm so sorry.
Protect your beloved with an RV policy from Progressive. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you could save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
She posted about us just now.
Celebrities can't get enough of Bianna's bespoke skincare line.
She has 147 million followers. How do we monetize?
She needs a social media associate to help her with the hype.
We should repost this. Do we need a hashtag?
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have provided consumers with quick access to lenders, and all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Got bills today? Get cash tomorrow. Visit LendingStore.com. Get the cash you need now. So visit LendingStore.com today for details.
See website for details. LendingStore is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old, not available in all states.
Now back to Unnecessary Roughness with your boy Q on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Fantastic show. We've been having a really good time. Talk to Ben Volen, senior NFL writer from the Boston Globe. Also, Jason Fitz just wrapped up with him. A lot of feedback from Raider Nation. Vinny, I'll end it with this. Got a text. Can Jaden Daniels try to pull Eli, get drafted at 2 to Washington or 3 at New England, but force a trade? I heard a report that Deion has an Eli list for his top guys next year.
Yeah, you can always, that's a tool that is in the toolbox. And I don't blame, you know, players that if you feel you got the hammer, go ahead and utilize it. Now, I don't think that he could do one of those. I'm not, you know, just don't pick me. I want to get picked at 13 because there's a big old money difference.
Yes.
Between 2 and 3 and 13. So it would have to be along the lines of what you just mentioned.
Get drafted, then get traded. Absolutely. Good stuff. Great feedback. We'll be back this afternoon. Of course, JT the Brick will be on noon to 2, and then Unnecessary Roughness, 2 to 5 p.m. here on Raider Nation Radio 920. Have a fantastic day. Appreciate you.
If you've been in an accident due to someone else's negligence, remember, it's not about the injury, it's about the recovery. Hi, this is Paul Pata from Paul Pata Law. At Paul Pata Law, we handle all types of cases. Whether you've been injured in a car accident, a motorcycle accident, or an accident on a commercial premises, you can find us on Facebook or at paulpatalaw.com. Remember, it's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Hey Vegas, Clay Baker here with you, and could anything get worse when you have to think about the words spring cleaning? I know for me, it's something I try to avoid. We become desensitized to the ugly marks on the carpet and the musty stale odor that just lingers. Oh, you can open the windows all you want, it's not gonna help. Especially when you want to open up your house for friends and family for a big family dinner or to watch college basketball. I had Zero Res come to my home recently, and what I found out is that if I'm not getting the air ducts clean, I'm only doing it halfway. Because right now, Zero Res has the revolutionary new intensive air duct cleaning process, which is seriously a breakthrough in technology for duct cleaning, and it significantly helps me with my allergies. You will notice right away when you open the door to your home, it gives you that wow moment. Call now, have Zero Res come to your home, and get the air duct special 10 register vents for only $299. Call 702-840-3333 or go online at ZeroResLasVegas.com. Minimums apply.
I have to confess, I was very excited to call 911. Finally, a good one, you know, like, and I realize that while what I'm about to say is true, it sounds suspicious. So I'm like, my wife fell down the stairs.
From his multiple Netflix specials, comedian Tom Segura brings his new tour, Come Together, to Dolby Live at Park MGM Saturday, September 7th. Get tickets at parkmgm.com.
Labor's Local 872 is opening the roads in our community to provide all of us with a path forward. Safe streets help you get where you need to go quickly and efficiently. The right path forward should never be closed, just like how Las Vegas never sleeps. Whether it's a night out or game time, Laborers Local 872 will keep building to get you there. Laborers Local 872, forging the path forward in Southern Nevada.
We've all seen and heard the TV and radio ads from personal injury attorneys selling you on who wins more, who's largest, and who can pay the most to be called the best. If you really want to know who you should call if you've been hurt, ask the people who know, the clients. I'm Justin Watkins with Battleborn Injury Lawyers, and we pride ourselves on our customer service. Google Battleborn Injury Lawyers and see what our clients say about us. Or call 766-1400 for a free consultation. At Battleborn, your battle is our fight.
Triple savings do not include attorney's fees.
Call Panda Law, 702-818-3888.
Do you have $10,000 or more in debt? Are you planning on using your tax refund to pay down your balances? Did you know that Panda Law can triple the amount you pay off with our debt settlement program?
Hi, we're the attorneys from Panda Law. If you're planning on paying down debt with your tax refund, call us first to learn how we can maximize the amount you pay off or even get you out of debt entirely.
Call Panda Law, 702-818-3888.
Here's an example. If you're getting $3,500 back from the IRS, you can get rid of more than $10,000 of debt by exercising your right to have an attorney settle that debt for you.
If you have debt and want to know how much you can eliminate with your tax return, call Panda Law for a free debt analysis.
Start the year off right. Get out of debt. Call Panda.
Call Panda Law, 702-818-3888.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, Then Great News.
Good
news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
When you get nachos, tacos, empanadas, spicy queso with jalapenos, Pepto-Bismol's there. Pepto-Bismol provides fast, effective relief from nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, and diarrhea. All the things that can happen unexpectedly on vacation. So before you travel, pack the Pepto. Pepto-Bismol.
When you have nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach,
diarrhea,
use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
Your afternoon Raiders fix with your boy Q on Unnecessary Roughness from 2 to 5 on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM KRLB Las Vegas.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
So far, so good.
With guest host Jim Jackson.
I like it.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We all learned a lot about these teams, and here it is.
You've got to be kidding me. Caitlin Clark.
Earlier on the show, Turner Sports play-by-play announcer Brian Anderson. Coming up, two-time national championship head coach Jay Wright, veteran NBA head coach and analyst Stan Van Gundy. And now, sitting in for Rich, Jim Jackson.
Now, welcome back to the show. I got my guy, one of my favorite coaches of all time, favorite people of all time. Doing an incredible job right now with CBS college basketball coverage, does games. He's in studio. He's doing commercials. No telling what else he's going to do after this, but just happy to welcome in my guy, Jay Wright, right now, who's covering a lot of NCAA tournament. Jay, GQJ, what's happening, my man?
Hey, my man. Good to be with you. Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm just, you know, living in your shadow like I always did before when I covered you. So that's it, man. How's things, man, with you right now? The transition over from the coaching, the sidelines, to now in studio and the games. You're doing a phenomenal job as well.
I appreciate it, buddy. It's a transition, man. It is, but I'm enjoying it, and I miss those little meetings we used to have in that little coach's room at Madison Square Garden before you do our Big East tournament games, talking serious ball. And now I listen to you doing the games on CBS and the tournament. You're doing a great job, man. But I'm in the studio now, so we're both on the media side. We've gone to the dark side, brother.
I know, man. But do you find the coaching, you had a challenge. You could kind of formulate a game plan, get your team together, recruit the right people. It was some stresses with that. But now that you're on the other side of the media, there's two things I want to ask you. One, the transition part for you seemed very seamless in regards to you're just a natural behind camera. But since you're just removed from coaching, you have friends, you know, that you coached against now that you have to critique. Okay. So to walk me through kind of both of those mindsets of now transferring over, but also the critiquing side of some of your coaching brethren.
Yeah. Two really interesting points, Jimmy. I appreciate you saying I look comfortable behind the camera, but one of the things I've looked at, and observed in doing this new career is, you know, it's a lot more work and preparation than I knew. Like, you know, you guys used to show up for games. We'd sit there. As I said, I remember us having great conversations back in the coach's room before a Big East tournament game, talk a ball. And I didn't realize what went into that, like how much film you were watching to do that. I just thought we were two guys talking ball because I was in that basketball coaching world, and we all thought that way. So in the transition, you know, I'm still learning and I'm trying to find my way. And I think you do a great job of this on the air of, you know, I watch a game and I want to get so into the X's and O's, but I want to find a way to make it enjoyable for somebody watching just to learn little pieces. They don't need to hear me analyzing, you know, the difference between drop coverage and blitzing a ball screen and why they switch it up every time, but try to understand it in some way. So I'm learning on that end of it. The other part of that, Jimmy, which has amazed me, is working with the play-by-play guys that you do, or being in studio working with, you know, an Adam Lefko or an Ernie Johnson or an Adam Zucker, like, or an Ian Eagle or, you know, Brad Nessler, like, how talented those guys are, how amazingly intelligent they are with all the stuff they have going on in their mind. That's blown me away. And in terms of critiquing my coaches, I'm trying to find a way to get across to fans that, coaches do make poor decisions sometimes, but it's not from a lack of intelligence or preparation. It's like, for example, in the Illinois game against Connecticut, I just know Brad Underwood, and I haven't asked him this, but I know for a fact, and I heard his interview at halftime, that he told his team, hey, we are going at Donovan Clingan. We are going to attack him. We are tough. We are aggressive. We are physical. We are going to go at him. And in the first half, it really didn't work that well, but they were only down 5. And I think he went in halftime and said, you know what? If we get him a couple fouls, it's going to take away their aggressiveness. We're going to keep going at him. He knew that if that didn't work, it was going to get bad like it did. He knew that. But he had to make a decision of how am I going to motivate my team and what's our best chance of winning. If they would have got Clingan in foul trouble, they would have had a chance to win. But Clingan was just too good. I mean, I've never seen a defensive performance like that, and it didn't work. So it made Brad Underwood look bad. And I hear people saying, like, why are they doing that? Like, why don't they shoot some pull-ups? Why don't they start shooting more threes? Well, yeah, he knew that. But he made the decision, and he'll live with the criticism, but he believed in his team and he had to make a decision. So I'm trying to find a way to get that across to people that the guy's not dumb. He's taking responsibility as a coach that he's got to make tough decisions. And if they don't work, he'll take the hit.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I talk to a lot of people too in regards to game planning. And they're like, well, why wouldn't they switch here? Why are they playing drop coverage? And I say, it's hours of scouting and putting together a game plan. And it's a reason why you go in there with option A, this is how we want to guard the pick and roll at the beginning of the game, option B and option C. Just a little bit from a coaching philosophy for you, when you laid out a game plan, say you were playing against Seton Hall and they had bigs inside, and you were a little bit smaller, even though you had the game plan, when did you transition? I don't know, sometimes the games will dictate something different. And even going into tournament games, whereas the teams, you had to turn around the scout really quickly. Yeah. How did you make those adjustments? What went into that when you had to veer off of what your original game plan was?
Yeah, great question. It's something like early in my career as a head coach, I thought, if you remember Pat Riley with the Knicks, like I learned a lot from Pat Riley and I liked it. You know, they were going to hard head pick and rolls. That's what they did. They were going to be great at it. You were going to have to deal with it, and they were going to just keep doing it better and better and better. And they were never going to relent, and they were going to do it their way. And I started that way, but he was doing it with Patrick Ewing. He had one of the best centers in basketball, and it worked for them. But as I transitioned and got more experience in coaching, I started to realize we had to have our teams prepared for a succession of adjustments. So just as you mentioned, we would go into games with, all right, this is how we're going to play pick and roll. But we know if we're going to start by blitzing pick and roll. But if they start splitting us and kicking out for threes, then our next adjustment is going to be, we're going to switch pick and rolls. So our team knew what the progression was before the game, so that when you're in the game, they don't think it's a panic, like, oh shoot, we're blitzing pick and rolls and they're beating us. What are we going to do now? Like, they knew, like, okay, this might happen. Same thing with playing a post player. And we played Zach Edey, you know, when he was a sophomore, and was like, okay, we're going to start. Sometimes you would do it this way. Sometimes you do it like, we're going to mix it up on him, whether one way works or not, because we just can't let him see the same coverage every time. Coming out of timeouts, we're going to blitz him. But during any other part of the game, when the ball goes in the post, we're going to attack him, which means swipe at his dribble, get back to our man. So we were always a team prepared for adjustments, so that when we did make the adjustments during a game, it wasn't like our team felt like we were panicking. They felt like we're prepared for this, and this is the way we always play. So, and I go back to that Illinois, and I think this is a great conversation, Jimmy, and I'd be interested in your point on this, because I know you know the Big Ten so well. I think Brad Underwood came into the game saying, we're going to get this big dude in foul trouble because he is the key to their team, which I think he is. And I think they got to halftime. They didn't get any fouls on him, but they were only down five, and it was close. And I think he said, you know what? Let's stick with it, guys. Let's keep going at him. Maybe we get him two quick fouls early in the second half, take away his aggressiveness. And they tried early in the second half, and it just blew up on him. And then once it blew up, there was nothing they could do. You know, and I know people probably criticize him, like, why'd you keep going at him? But I think he felt like this is our only chance to win. I'd rather give us a chance to win and maybe get blown out than just hang around and keep it close, but never give us a chance to win.
No, I you know, Jay, I agree with you from that perspective, because, as you know, during the course of the season, Donovan Klingman would pick up some fouls and have to be regulated to the bench. Now, UConn plays a little bit differently, but I think he's grown a little bit where he didn't pick up those cheap fouls, you know, 24 feet away from the basket in the pick and roll where he reached in. So now, game planning wise, even though they went at him, he playing straight up in the air, not trying to block everything, but intimidating in the middle. And I think that kind of threw some things off game planning wise, thinking that maybe Samson Johnson would be in the game at times more so than Donovan Klingon. And that didn't take place. But from your perspective too, when you look at where we're at in the Final Four right now, kind of people figured UConn all year, Purdue, but come on, North Carolina State, and also now you got Alabama. I mean, how great of a story on both sides of the ledger, especially the NC State story, is what they've been able to accomplish.
It is, man. It's so cool because, as you said, you got the two giants and that have really been dominant in college basketball all year. And I got to admit, I mean, as a fan, I've always wanted to see this matchup. You know, I wanted to see UConn against Purdue. That's one side of it. But then the other part of it as a fan is you love these stories, these Alabama stories, these NC State stories. And they are stories, as you mentioned, because the NC State dream here, it really, if you were alive in 83 and you remember that Jimmy Valvano run, that was so incredible because they were in the same position and Jimmy V was just such a character and they were doing it in such an incredible way. Like they were out of games. And if you remember, Jimmy V was, they were down like five against Pepperdine and Jimmy V just started fouling with like 2 minutes left and then missed free throws. They were out of it, but their run was just as improbable. So because of that, no matter what I see in NC State, I cannot count them out because there is a magic that happens at this time of year. Villanova did it. Villanova was an 8 seed in 1985, an 8 seed, and played the first round in Dayton against Dayton and was out of the game and came back and won it. So in the first round, you're like, all right, Villanova's eliminated. They were an 8 seed. They shouldn't have been in the tournament anyway. And came back to beat Georgetown in the national championship game, which was as dominant with Patrick Ewing as UConn looks right now. So I know enough not to count out NC State and not to count out Alabama. But the Alabama story, too, you know, Nate Oates is a guy that I have communicated with because if you remember, Javon Quinterly transferred from Villanova right to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
And we were helpful in that situation. It was just a good move for Javon. And Nate was great with him. And we tried to help him get eligible. So we worked with Nate on it. And we become friends. And I know talking to him during the year, he's like, I got to get these guys to defend. Like, we're a great offensive team, but I got to get them to defend better. And what you're really seeing with them is a coach that has never given up on trying to get them to defend. And even into the tournament, kept trying to teach them and demand of them, where in the game against Grand Canyon, they held Grand Canyon scoreless for the last 4 minutes of the game. And really, in the Duke game, their defense was the difference. They held Duke in the 50s. So this is a great story of a coach that never relented and continued to demand of his team to defend while they were one of the best offensive teams ever in college basketball.
No, I love the storyline between that and also the Purdue perspective, because, and I'm going to relate this to you and your career, because you had success, but then you had some number one seeds, some teams that got eliminated early. It was some questioning around whether you could win the big game or win the big moment, and then you were able to break through. Well, that's the same kind of case that we're looking at with Matt Painter. You know, from the perspective of what happened last year, but also the narrative of the big moment, the big game, he can't get through. Outside looking in from you, when you finally made that break, when you look at Matt, because there is a similarity, what would you say to Matt in regards to going into the Final Four?
You're so right. You know, I hate to, you know, I like to talk about the other teams. I hate to talk about us. You know, I don't like talking about myself or us, but you're so right about that comparison. We had 2 years in a row, Jimmy, as you know, because you were there with us on the Big East tournament, where we were a number one seed 2 years in a row in 14. I believe it was 14. You help me if I'm wrong, but we lost to Connecticut in the second round, and Connecticut was like, I don't know, man, I think they were like an 11 seed or something like that. And we lost in the second round. They went on to win the national championship. The next year, we were number one seed again. We might even have been the number one overall seed. And we lost to NC State, who was an 8 seed in the second round. And at the time, you don't realize it, but when you're in the middle of it, I felt like everybody was just killing us. I felt like everybody was, and it probably wasn't as bad as I felt it at the time, but I've actually talked to Matt about this. You feel like everybody just thinks you stink and you can't coach, and they criticize the players and you're losers. And it was 2 years in a row. In 16, we went to play Iowa in the second round game. And I feel for Matt, because I felt like the whole season of 15-16, and we would talk to our team about this, to everybody else, that whole season didn't matter. And we won the Big East Championship regular season. We actually lost in the finals, like similar to Purdue,
right,
in the Big East tournament. But nobody cared. I felt like nobody cared about anything we did. They just wanted to see us get to that second round game and get past it. That's all anybody cared about. And our second round game was in Brooklyn, and we played Iowa, and Iowa was this hot team, one of the best offensive teams in the country. And I'm telling you, honestly, I was nervous as hell going to this game. I was acting in front of my team like it was no big deal. But I remember seeing my president before the game, and my president saying, I have never been so nervous before a game in my life. He said, I don't really care if we win or lose, but I just want everybody to get off your back. And the amazing thing to me was our players had no fear. Ryan Arcidiacono was a senior. Daniel Cheffa was a senior. They had no fear at all. It was kind of like Brian Dutcher going into the UConn game saying, I'm intimidated. When I watch film, I'm intimidated, but I know my players aren't. And I found the same thing with our players. They went into that game. We were up 30. We were up 30 in that game. Our guys were so confident, so aggressive. But once we got past that second round, it was like the weight of the world was off our shoulders and we could just play. And every other game after that was so enjoyable and gave us a freedom, a mental freedom that allowed us to win a national championship, I think. So I think going through it, getting past the second round, actually gave us a clear mind and a freedom on a path to a national championship that I think Purdue is enjoying right now. And I think it's going to be amazing. you know, there's a fan in me wants to see that matchup against UConn.
No, I think the national public kind of wants to see, because you got so many intriguing storylines. UConn going for two in a row hasn't been done. 07, 08, and I don't want to talk about that because the first one, Florida beat my Ohio State Buckeyes. So I kind of hold a grudge on that one. But then you have two centers who, which is an anomaly in the NBA, but in college, they're two different kind of centers, but yet you utilize them as an anchor to your defense, but also can run offense through them. Matt Painter trying to break through. I mean, there's so many little intriguing storylines. And to your point, too, winning is not easy, even though you're the favorite. Game planning, is there a certain, what's the mentality when you get, because I missed the Final Four, I got to Elite Eight, but when you're in the Final Four from a coaching perspective, do you tune into things you've done all season? Are there different tweaks? Or is it just who you are and you just add to it depending on who you're playing?
Great. I think the last point, what you said, what I have learned this year doing TV is I go in, you know, we do a Saturday game for CBS. I go in on Friday. I get to watch both teams practice, which I am loving. But I'm getting to see the inside, and coaches are really opening up to me and telling me what they do and why. And I'm realizing, like, how nuts I was, because I only knew one way. I only knew my way. And I was a lunatic. And I realized how good all these other guys are also. But my way and our way, I think, was a little unique in that when we were in 09, when we went to our first Final Four, I think I made a mistake in that when we were businesslike all the way through Final Eight. We beat Pitt on a Scotty Reynolds shot at the buzzer. We get to the Final Four. I don't think we were thinking we would get to the Final Four because we had to go through UCLA, Duke. Pitt was number two in the country. When we got there, I felt like it was a celebration. I wanted everybody to enjoy it. I invited all the former players, everybody that ever coached with us. I invited everybody to be a part of it. I let them be in team meals. You know, we did our scouting sessions differently. But you know what? Honestly, it was a clown show. I mean, when we got to the game, I felt like, you know what? We didn't stay focused enough. So in 16, when we went, it was lockdown, man. It was just next game. When we went from Final Eight to Final Four, nothing changed. It was just our next game. Let's keep getting better every day in practice. Get to the site. We're on lockdown. Not spend any time with our families. Not spend any time. No alumni around. We're going to ask everybody for our privacy. It was just next game, next game. And to your final point, it was, what's the opponent? What do we have to do to win this next game? Let's make the adjustments, let's prepare, and let's be dialed in. And that's the way we approached it, which in 16 and 18, that's what we did. I think I made a mistake in 09.
Gotcha. The learning aspect of it, too. And before I let you go, I was fortunate after the Big East tournament, I'm running you outside the hotel. You walking down the street. I got a cigar outside smoking. Father Donnelly ends up coming up, and we're talking. But I pose this question to you, and I think it's very important. A lot of people are trying to get their arms wrapped around NIL and, you know, the transfer portal. And I asked you this question. I said, how do you build culture in today's world with those two opposite ends of the spectrum things going on with NIL, with, you know, the name, likeness, and image and earning money, but then now transfer portal, whether that's young freshman or grad or whatever it may be. And I asked you, how do you build a culture in today's environment?
Yeah, it's fascinating, and it is everybody's challenge right now. And I think the four teams that you see in the NCAA tournament and in Final Four right now have found their way to build that culture in different ways. I think NC State's came about right at the end of the season. I saw a statement that DJ Burns said where he said there was a point at the end of the season when everybody started to come to meetings on time. Everybody started to be more dialed into the scouting report. And as you know, as a player, that's culture. When everybody's doing that on their own and everybody's committed to that, that's culture. I think Connecticut had it all year. I think UConn had it all year. I think Alabama is digging into it on the defensive end at the end of the year. you can lose culture too. Some teams that were good all year might have lost culture at the end. But to answer your question, I think you've got to, similar to the NBA now, I think you've got to get an older core of players that join you as a staff, as teammates in building that culture. I think your best players, they've got to be paid in a way. They've got to be committed. They're being paid not to just perform on a court, but be committed to the culture and help you pass down that culture to the players that are coming in and help you find players in the transfer portal that will fit the culture and help them stay committed. Very similar to the NBA, Jimmy. You know, you were that guy that, all right, you're the highest paid guy. You're the leader. You've got to help us build this culture. You've got to stand for the culture, not just your personal accomplishments. Hard to do, but I think it's the way you've got to approach it this now in college basketball.
Yeah, man, it's totally different. But the game we love is going to be played this weekend. I mean, four teams kind of vying for something, some history to be made. If UConn is able to repeat, be history for those teams who win it for the first time, as far as Purdue and Alabama and North Carolina State, the storyline is just unbelievable. But listen, man, you're doing an awesome job, a great job. I'll see you in Phoenix. I'll be watching, of course, Studio Show-wise, and then maybe in the summer with our crew, because you got me hooked up with Marion before. Our crew back there in Philly had to make a special appearance to see if we can get together this summer as well.
We'd love to have you there, man. We love when you come to Philly and play.
All right. Appreciate you, Coach. Thanks a lot, man. Safe travels to Phoenix, too, brother.
Me too, buddy.
All right. Man.
That's awesome.
Hey, listen, that...
Legend.
For me, covering... I'm so blessed because I get a chance to be in the locker room and talk to these coaches and see things from a totally different perspective, game planning wise, why they do so, but then having a conversation. Jay and I, and along with Gus Johnson, we would, a lot of times he talked about us being in a room before talking. We'll be talking about some other stuff. Sometimes it may be about the game, but it's about life. It's about when he was coaching USA basketball, about the things that he's learned along the way. I mean, to really see. And I tip my hat to college coaches. Everything that you got to deal with as a college coach, whether that's you got to raise money, you got to deal with alumni, mm-hmm. you got to be a babysitter, you got to be a psychologist. You know what I mean? You got to go out and recruit.
Father figure.
Yeah. And then you still got to win. And you still got to teach. You know, and to watch Jay, and I thought that was very important in regards to the similarities between he and Matt Painter. Mm-hmm. About, you know, not having the success and not getting over the top. But once you do, you're in that separate echelon and category, right?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yep.
Yes, sir.
So I don't know, man. Jay is, and he's spectacular on TV, too.
Yeah, he's got the cachet. You think he'll ever come back?
Nah. Why would he?
I think Jay left at the right time.
Right time.
You know, but you know how hard it is to leave when you're on top?
Yep.
I mean, anybody.
Absolutely.
On top, not forced out. Now you don't. The questions are, well, did he stay too long? It's almost, the question is like this. Well, if he'd have stayed, could he have won two or three more?
Yep.
What if? Mm-hmm. You know, that positive part of it. Because he went out on top. Man, it's the challenges of coaching. I mean, it's just incredible. All right, brother.
Let's do it. Let's go to break.
Go to break.
We'll be back.
For the ones who keep stadiums buzzing and shop floors running, there's Grainger. Keep your operations humming with professional-grade maintenance, safety, and industrial products from Grainger. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry, plus same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders, Grainger can help you stay on top of your game. Not sure exactly what you need? Huddle up with Grainger's product specialists. They'll tackle your toughest questions to help you move your team forward. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough already. Put the phone away or pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Life insurance. Why are you putting it off? Can't afford it? Too much hassle? Think you don't need it? There's lots of excuses for putting off life insurance. But if you weren't there, who would pay the mortgage and other bills? With Ethos, you could be covered in 10 minutes and boom, family protected. Ethos. Fast and easy online.